This episode of Voices of the Elephant is brought to you by Nomad PHP. Start a habit of continuous learning. Visit nomadphp.com and subscribe today. Welcome to the Voices of the Elephant podcast. Each episode of Voices of the Elephant brings you an interview with a member of the PHP community. From project leaders to user group organizers, we talk to the people that are helping make the PHP community special. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Voices of the Elephant. We're here at Dallas, Texas, at Lone Star PHP, and my special guest is Mr. Keith Casey. Say hi to everybody, Keith.
Hi, everybody, Keith.
And we... You're an idiot. We have known each other for quite some time. We have been partners in crime at PHP Architect and Blue Parabola, and I do queen that quite literally.
I prefer unindicted co-conspirator.
There you go. But, and you know, we've been knocking around the PHP community, doing stuff together for quite some time.
Yeah.
But you have, when I first met you, your big thing was web to project.
And yes.
I remember, man, you were focused. You have now become the API guy. I mean, when
yes.
I think API and I've got a question, you're top of mind. You're the first person I ask.
Well, thank you.
Thus, all the private messages on Twitter. You know?
Yeah, some of the private messages. Some of those things are about other stuff. We won't talk about in this podcast.
No, we don't have to. Yeah. We don't have to talk about those. But this
you're
is
welcome.
Going downhill in a hurry.
You're welcome.
But you do a lot of work with API. So and you did a workshop here at Lone Star.
Yes.
On API. So talk to us a little bit about what was in the workshop.
So the workshop was called Modeling APIs for Legacy Applications, and mm-hmm. sort of the vision of it is when most people talk about API design, they're talking from, you know, greenfield, blue sky application, like nothing exists.
Yeah.
And designing an API at that stage is kind of easy because there's mm-hmm. not an existing structure. There's not an existing app to sort of build against or to be dependent on. There's not a lot of business logic that already exists. But that happens very rarely. Mm-hmm. You know, we always think that, hey, look, we want to build an application from the ground up, which is great. But most of us work in the legacy world. There's existing applications, existing business logic.
Yeah.
There are things that make our companies money. And we need to add APIs to those sometimes, too. And so this was taking the approach of, look, you've got an existing application. It's providing real business value. It's making somebody money.
Mm-hmm.
How do you add an API to that?
And what's the biggest piece of advice that you give people for that?
So the biggest piece of advice I always say, and this is whether you're building from nothing or against a legacy application, you need to stop and deliberately design it.
Mm.
Most people approach APIs as like a checkbox that's approached after the project. You know, they bolt it on afterwards. And I think we're really doing ourselves a disservice. When we're trying to get like good user interfaces, good UX sort of processes, we do wireframes. We do user interaction flows. We make sure that the flow through our application makes sense. We do that for checkout processes. We do that for, you know, all kinds of things like that. We don't do the same thing for APIs.
No, APIs are really back in the old Wild West of, we're going to do it this way.
Yeah, and I mean, I've worked for API companies, and we found in some cases, like, somebody comes to the site, they register for the API, they use the API, they figure out, wait a minute, this is what I need. They go back, they put in their credit card information on the website, and then their interaction with the company from there forward is using the API.
Mm-hmm.
They don't come back to the website because they don't need to.
Yeah.
So the API must be a user interface that has as much care and time put into it as any website.
Well, I totally agree. My favorite example of that is outside of Twilio, because I don't use them that much, but I love their API.
And that was the API company I was talking about.
Yeah, but MailChimp.
Yes.
My interaction with MailChimp is largely through the API. Now, Kathy uses it for Nomad PHP, Daycamp for developers. Mm-hmm. All our emails go through that. But the stuff that I do with it is almost all through the API. And
yes.
It is so easy to use. It is a well-thought-out API, and it's so easy to use that you're right. I find myself very rarely interacting with their website anymore.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Unless I need the documentation, you know, then I go out there. But until we get self-documenting APIs. And
GitHub is an interesting one because they're sort of doing that in a lot of ways. Like if you make a request to their API, it's like api.github.com,
mm-hmm.
it'll give you back a list of all the endpoints you can interact with.
Oh,
and
nice.
You make a request against that, and it'll give you some guidance on here are the parameters you're missing, or here's a link to the docs and where to go. So I teach an API design course to a number of big banks, and it's really fun walking through the GitHub API, because these are people who've never seen GitHub, let alone used it. And I say, how do you think we interact with this URL? And they can divine it just from the API itself. And I think that's fantastic.
That is wonderful. Now, you've also written a book on APIs.
Yes.
Talk to us about what's in the book.
So just for the record, the book is not complete. We've published about 6 of 10 chapters. We're still working on it. If you buy a copy of the book, you get all the updates. It's called The API Design Book. Mm-hmm. And it's theapidesignbook.com. So it's not another API design book or just some other. It's the API design book.
Yes.
Yeah, there's no others out there. I was still shocked that that URL was available. I was so happy about that. That was fantastic. But no, we talk about modeling APIs, and we talk about how to design in. It's myself and the co-author is a good friend of mine, James Higginbotham in Austin. Mm-hmm. And he comes at the APIs from the implementation side of things. And he's a Ruby Java guy.
We're going to have to edit that out.
this is very language technology agnostic at this stage. We're adding some implementation details later on.
Uh-huh.
But it's like, here's how to approach APIs. And here's how to do it, a good job with it.
I'm going to talk to something. For those of you who don't know, before we start recording with any guest, we discuss the topics that we are going to discuss. And so, Keith, I'm going to go off book here and ask you a question that you're totally not prepared for.
Okay.
You have your lovely wife, Dawn, here.
Yes.
And your beautiful new son, Quinn.
Yes.
You're a developer evangelist. And I've been one for 10 years. I've just recently moved out of that life, or migrated out of that life, escaped. Talk to us about what it's like to balance being such a high-level DE, because you are one of you're one of the ones that when people say DE, they point to you.
Yeah, apparently that's kind of scary.
But now you've got two other kids, but now you got a baby.
Yes.
How do you balance all of this? Has it affected your travel, your work life?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So let's see. Right now it's April 2015. Last year and the year before, I did about 140 days of travel each year.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what I was doing. Like when I was with Twilio, I think the minimum number of days of travel I did was like 120 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not weekdays, that's days period. So it's literally like 33% travel.
Yeah.
Which is a lot, you know, by any stretch and any measure. I think it's really hard to balance it. I wrote a blog post about this early last year on caseysoftware.com talking about how to balance it. And honestly, I don't think there's a very good way to do it, because most developer evangelist positions, they require a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm not opposed to developer evangelism. I love it. I love doing it. I still enjoy doing it. But I think you need to go in with your eyes open, and I think you need to set some rules and boundaries for yourself. Set travel limits. One of my rules, once Twilio grew a little bit, is I limited myself to places I could get a direct flight from in Austin. So that meant my travel days, instead of being, you know, 3 or 4 hours of travel time plus a transfer plus more travel time, it was, you know, the entire travel day was like 5 hours.
Yeah.
So I could hop somewhere at noon. So I got the morning at home. I'd hop somewhere at noon, be somewhere in time for dinner, and like get going then. So I could go in like not multiple days early, but you know, in like an afternoon early,
yeah,
or come back midday from somewhere.
That's actually very smart. It's always interesting. I don't get to talk to them on the podcast a lot, but I talk to a lot of developer evangelists, mm-hmm. and I'm always interested how they balance the work life. And some of them simply admit I don't.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And that is the life. I was with Pantheon last year. I did 25 events.
Mm-hmm.
And almost all of those were weekends because, you know, Word camps, Drupal camps are always,
yes,
all the camps are on the weekends. Hackathons are on the weekends, you know.
Yep.
So, you know, that was half a year that I was out for the weekend.
Yeah.
Now, I'm luckily in the position where the lovely and talented Kathy, my wife, manages our companies,
mm-hmm.
and so sometimes she was able to travel with me, but my kids are grown, so
yes,
it's not as much of an impact.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it is interesting that some people will simply say, yeah, it's just part of the life, and they accept it, and I applaud them.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point they're going to hit that point where they're like, it might be part of the life, but I'm tired of the life.
Yeah, but I think developer evangelism is kind of unique in that it leads into some amazing things. Because
absolutely.
You need solid technical chops. You have to have technical credibility to market to developers.
Yeah.
So there's that. You have to be able to stand in front of the audience and present and pitch things and show, hey, look, here's how to explain something.
Mm-hmm.
Then your entire job is to travel around and connect with the smart people, the best and brightest in different communities. So if you want to step from that role into founding a company, which a lot of Twilio developer evangelists went on to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a fantastic thing because odds are you know the people, you know how to build stuff, you know how to present it.
Yeah.
It's just now you have to do it.
Yeah.
And another role is like product management, and that's the route that I took.
Yeah, that leads us very nicely into our next topic, which is you're working for a startup. You're
yes.
employee number...
Number one.
Number one.
Yes.
For Clarify.
Yes, Clarify.io.
Which used to be...
Our old name sucked. Our old name was Open Voice. That's spelled OP3 in voice. So we had Ops 3 Invoice, like it was a mess.
Yeah.
And so it was terrible because people would see it and they wouldn't know how to say it. And they'd hear it and wouldn't know how to spell it.
Yeah.
So it was like we're striking out on all angles here.
Well, I'm so glad you clarified that.
Oh, I see what you did there. That was very subtle.
Talk to us about what Clarify does.
We've actually gone through a little bit of shift lately. Previously, I would say we make audio and video searchable. So you hand us your audio and video files, whether that's phone calls or podcast or conference presentation or news broadcast or whatever, and we could use automatic speech recognition to extract information and tell you who said what when.
Oh, wow.
And that's where we've been. But in the last few weeks, we've started launching some additional components. And now our sort of vision is unlocking the hidden data in media files.
Hmm.
So now we can do keyword analysis. We can start doing things. We're working on like emotional content. We're figuring out things that say a lot because sort of the holy grail in this space is sarcasm. Because if you just get the raw text of something, it says one thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the tone. It's the way it's delivered that adds something else entirely.
So is this natural language processing?
There's a lot of natural language processing in multiple languages.
Okay.
We work in a variety of languages at this point. And then the coolest...
Now, when you say multiple language, you don't mean Ruby, PHP, Python. You mean English,
yes,
Spanish.
Yes, English, Spanish, French. Okay. We've got another handful on the way. I know the timelines for things I'm not supposed to share. But one of the coolest things we did is last month at South by Southwest, we demoed a new thing that's under development right now. It's our lab. Previously, we could tell you every time somebody said the word shark. Now we can tell you every time a shark is on the screen.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's object recognition in video, which radically changes how people approach search. Because you're not just searching like what people said or like, you know, if you search on YouTube, you're searching the description of the video or the tags. This is searching the content, and not just what you hear, what you see.
That
and
is cool.
My favorite search to do right now in our demo is searching for mirror. Because if you think about it, what does a mirror look like?
Yeah.
It looks like whatever's looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
What's a mirror shape like? Well, it's shaped like a mirror. It doesn't have a defined shape. And there's these great shots where we have a camera sitting in a car, and you can search for mirror, and it picks up every time the rear view mirror comes in the view,
mm-hmm.
and every time the side view mirror comes in the view.
That
it's,
is very cool.
It's amazing.
That yeah. is neat. Well, I look for some great stuff coming from you guys.
Yeah.
Any project that you're involved in, I always know is going to be very interesting.
Oh, thank you.
And it sounds like y'all have got some great stuff coming down the pipe.
Yeah, it's fun stuff.
Well, excellent. I'm going to wrap this up. I'm going to ask you the same two questions I ask everybody. What's your local user group and what's the URL?
So our local user group is Austin PHP Users Group. It's a pretty good group. We meet second Thursday of each month. I believe it's austinphp.com.
Yep.
And that redirects to our meetup group, so that'll get you set there. And we also have Austin PHP on Twitter, so we're easy to find.
Oh, yeah. We just had Josh Butts, which I hope you're after Josh because I've just announced that he's on there. But we just had him talking about Austin PHP and how y'all are one of the largest PHP user groups in the world, and yet you still, like the rest of us, get about 50 people to the meeting. So.
Yes. Yeah, and I think we're one of the longest standing, too. I think we're sitting at 10, 12 years at this point.
Wow, that's excellent.
Yeah.
Well, I want to wrap this up by first saying thank you for taking the time to be with us here on Voices of the Elephant. But more than that, I've seen you do so much for the PHP community, whether it was Web to Project, the work that you did on PHP Architect and Tech, because we had many a good year running Tech.
I can neither confirm nor deny that.
But I've seen you contribute so much back to the community and so many selfless acts that I just want to thank you for everything that you're doing for the PHP community.
Am I dying?
Not that I'm allowed to admit.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That just sounded like a goodbye, and I was just like, you know, yeah,
but
makes me a little nervous.
I would check Don's pistols.
Okay.
So.
Thank you. Thank you.
Anyhow, we'll wrap it up. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Voices of the Elephant. Voices of the Elephant is copyright EICC Incorporated and released under a Creative Commons Attribution No Derivatives Share and Share Alike license.
To nominate someone to be a guest on Voices of the Elephant, visit our website and click on the nominate link. The URL is voicesoftheelephant.com. Elephant is, of course, spelled E-L-E-P-H-P-A-N-T.